is gonna roll around. It's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup. Join us. We'll be with you right after this song.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And another Saturday is rolled around. Can you believe that? Can you believe that we're still here? Are any of you out there? I guess maybe some of you have been raptured away.
Happy Rapture Day.
Yeah, right. Had one of the smart aleck eekers of Diamond Men call me, said, I'm sending you my stuff because there's going to be a rapture on Saturday and I won't be needing it. Hey, yo, this is going to be here. The world's going to be here. This is the 21st of May, 2011. The day they call the Day of the Lord, as far as that false prophet camping goes. And tomorrow is the 22nd. And tomorrow we will be bringing you a message at the LaPorte Church of Christ in the Sunday Seer service. It'll help you to see and understand the role that the false prophets like camping play and how the system plays it so well. So I'm looking forward to bringing that message to you, but we always look forward to having coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We just get together, and I say we. I got my Radio Ranch Wrangler, Just Jason, hooked up by phone. You there, Jason?
Yes, sir.
And we got Charismatic Kyle, smiling Charismatic Kyle.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and right and ready, right hand Richard. And we're all here coming to you out there. Courtesy of your prayers and your tithes and support and offerings, we're still broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And the way we do the broadcast on Saturday mornings with the coffee time, Radio Ranch Wrangler coffee time, is we just kind of open up the chute gate and see what comes out first. We ask for the Holy Spirit. We've already prayed for the Holy Spirit to lead us in topics and subjects. And Scripture. And we've prayed that this broadcast would be of no benefit to those of you that refuse to put Jesus Christ first as your King, your Lord, and your Master. And with that said, let me go to who gets to go out first. Oh, my ranch wranglers are all wondering. And they're ready to go. And we're going to go with Richard.
Well, good morning on Rapture Day. And something that people need to realize it's a little more important, I think, than that, or at least that'll get them through what's truly coming, and that's baptism. Got an email just this week, says, "Greetings to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Praise be to him and all the glory. Our son, who is 20 years old and 4 months, got baptized today by his father. I guess he needed to see the constant floods in our backyard creek for over a month now before he plunged into the muddy waters. What a great joy for us. Blessings to all that are his for healing from the word and his care, Tony and Suzanne out in Kent, New York."
Oh, what a blessing.
So,
and you know, I appreciate the fact that they said blessing to all those that are his. You watch out for these people that when they close talking to you say blessings. They bless every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along. You better not do that. You be very careful with who you say your God blessings to.
And I think we've learned, too, the other thing that they say that for is so that you will repeat it right back to them.
Yeah, because they want you to give them the blessing.
At times they're fishing. They're fishing. So
well, it's, real it's good not to hear only that they want you to bless them, but they want to bring the wrath of God upon you.
A good point. Well, explain to the people what you mean by that point.
Well, when we go and we, let's say, love the wicked or bless the wicked, in turn, we end up bringing the wrath of God upon ourselves. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but scripture clearly shows that when you bless those that we're not to bless, that you bring a curse upon yourself.
Absolutely. That's why it's good to say, for those of you that are his, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
Exactly. That's a good point. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that it's very good when, you know, I've seen it where a lot of times somebody will want you to pray with them where, you know, they come up and they say, well, I need you to, I just feel like I need to pray for you. And they want to pray for you. And usually when someone's done praying for you, your natural reaction is to turn around and bless them in return, and which is just natural. We want to do good to those who do good to us, but sometimes it can be a trap, and that's just one of the things that it goes to show me how important the prayer filter is, and that's something that we really need to keep activated, especially in the times that we're living in, because we've got these aliens among us, we got these terrors among us, and they are trying to bring the wrath of God upon us. They're intellectual giants, and they do these things. And sometimes I wonder if they even know what they're doing when they do it.
Well, I think it's like Peter said, they're creatures of instinct.
So it must maybe it could be just it's just all in their DNA. It's their instinct.
Yeah. That scripture, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that Jason has in his mind is 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2. I read, "And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord?'" That's why they preach this love doctrine all the time in the churches. I had one of my Acres Diamond men point out to me that he noticed as he was reading the book of Acts, there's a lot of sermons in the book of Acts, and not one time do they talk about love there. Isn't that interesting? Well, Richard gave us good news there, people getting baptized.
Yeah, that, you know, that reminds me of the people that, you know, the lady that called Wednesday night during the prayer meeting, you know, how happy she was that God was finally drawing her husband, you know.
Yeah, I think he got baptized, didn't
wow,
he? Didn't she say that? Yeah, said she'd been praying for him and had called in a couple times over the last several months for prayer. And I believe she said he got baptized.
Yeah, recently. She did. She said that her son was her son had made up his mind he wanted to get baptized, and they had contacted Church of Christ Church and was going to get baptized for their mission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And as they were getting ready to walk out the door, her husband said, "You got room for one more?"
Yeah, isn't that
great? And
yeah.
Went and got baptized with them, and that just, you know, that put a smile on my face.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. You know, I need to probably tell people, we do send people to Churches of Christ because they are one of the few groups that do baptize for the remission of sins.
Yes.
But most of them are what they call the non-instrumental Church of Christ. I was baptized in a Church of Christ, but it was a Christian church. They used the instruments. There's two different groups out there. So there's a lot of good Christian churches that will, they go by that title, Christian Church, and they baptize as well. So when you do get baptized there, they'll expect you to start coming to church there. And you can, but you won't be going there very long if you're honest and start asking questions. And they'll suddenly see that you don't fit in. And they'll say you're involved in some kind of cult.
We've even had people tell us that what they found works pretty good is to find a Church of Christ in the next town over, or a couple towns away. And they've told us that they've gone in and talked to the pastor and told them that, you know, they're just over visiting and felt compelled to get baptized, and have usually been able to just get baptized. And
they're pretty good men there. Yeah. They'll baptize you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, you just visited was that a Church of Christ visited back in Oregon? You had a good little story about that, didn't you?
Yeah, part good, part bad, but yeah, I contacted, there was a couple, I mean, they're not a couple, but there was two people in our old town that was talking and looking, getting ready to be baptized. So I contacted a Church of Christ there in my old local town because I wanted to go home and visit my mom. And at the same time, take care of some stuff that needed to take care of, and so I contacted a Church of Christ preacher. He was quite kind man. Told me I could use the baptismal at his church. He would be there, you know, and so he was there. I went there, and two people from our past. One of them backed out. The boy backed out, but the girl went through with it. She said it was time, and the preacher let me do it. And you know, I even offered up a prayer at the end that, you know, to, you know, for God to thank him, and, you know, and because he showed a blessing, that he would receive a blessing. But then we went back the next day, and here's not the so good part, but we went back the next day to church. It was an early morning church. They had like, I think they have three services there a day. One's at 8:15, one's at 10:45, and then there's an evening one, I guess. So we went to the 8:15, the early one, you know. And again, the singing was non-instrumental, like Pastor said, you know, but there was enough people there that it sounded pretty good. You know, I mean, a couple good singers there too. But the assistant pastors, I guess that's what I would call them. I don't know what he calls them. That worked there. There was three or four of them. Now they, on the other hand, I mean, it was very apparent that there was some snake-like individuals there. You know, I don't know what they did there. If they were like youth group pastors or what? You know, but I didn't trust them. Didn't trust some of them when I seen them. Didn't trust others of them when I spoke to them. You know, of course, they're effeminate, you know, little bastards, and you could just tell that they perceive Christianity as being a soft-spoken, feminine, almost a homosexual type converse when you have conversation with them, and, you know. But the original, the head pastor, you know, I did thank him, you know. He had hip waders there, so I didn't even have to get my clothes wet.
Not even your shirt sleeve?
I had a long sleeve shirt, and I did get my shirt sleeve wet, but it didn't go down the top of my bibs. But anyway, it was a blessed weekend, and then that following Monday, we took the second chance for Passover, which also was quite a blessing to to get my mom involved in. She hadn't took communion for years, you know, so that was good for her and for me. So anyway, that's my little story of Church of Christ.
You know, you you used the term bastard. Had one guy write to me and say, you know, I started using that and I've repented of it. That is a King James Bible verse where Paul talked about those that were bastards. And you can take it or leave it, but most pastors are bastards. Now, I'm not saying the man that was a kind man let being baptized, but these other guys, I found that, well, I think one of the things I'm going to teach, if the Lord allows, when I'm there in Branson holding the men's meeting, is the origin of bastards. It has to do with unlawful wedlock. It has to do with DNA. And so people think that Pastor Peters is swearing and he's nasty, not a nice Christian because he uses the word bastard. That's a very good King James Bible word. So I like to hear it where it applies to the bastards. Jason, what do you got out there?
Well, I was thinking about aliens this week, and I got that, I was talking to somebody about aliens, and they thought I was kind of crazy, but I had the scripture here from 2 Samuel 1, verse 13, that said, David said to the young men who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered and said, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." And sometimes people have a hard time with some of these creatures when we refer to them as aliens, but if you just do a search and look up in a concordance or something, look up the word aliens, boy, you can get a whole, there's a whole bunch of them. I was thinking about Proverbs 5:10 that says, "And strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien." And how so much of this stuff is we've seen, you know, like you were talking about bastards, they don't like us to use the word bastards because so much of the time they are bastards. You know, they don't like us to use the word aliens because so much of the time they are aliens. You know, the aliens are among us. And, you know, they tried to use these words and make these words out to be something completely, totally different. You know, and they're words that come out of your Bible. And they are real, and they're among us, but they can sure get upset when you talk about aliens or you talk about bastards or you talk about terrors or even when you talk about sin and how much, if you use these words, they carry a frequency with them, and a lot of times the dark side really doesn't like it when you use these words.
I agree, and that's why you'll never hear in these preaching bastards sermons about tares, sons of the devil, aliens. Well, wonder why. What could it be? Because that's exactly what they are, the dirty bastards.
Yeah, they don't even like you to use the word wicked. You know, I don't know how many times that's in the Bible, but it's all over in there. You know, I mean, they want to see the good in everybody.
Well, those wicked, they're just less good.
Right.
Or when you call somebody a snake, it's interesting. You watch when you point out a snake and you point them out by their fruits, and you show somebody. A lot of times, there's a lot of people that anymore is getting to be where they can agree with you and they can see it. But then there's those that really get upset when you start stepping on the head of a snake, especially when you identify that they are a snake and you start attacking them. You know. Most of the time, these snakes, they travel in pairs, and when you step on one of them, the other one gets real upset, and they don't like it, and they'll come to the aid of the snake that's getting attacked and try to make you out to be, you know, a horrible person, and just, you know, they come to their defense, and it's just interesting to watch what happens when you start to come against one of these aliens or one of these snakes or one of these tares or one of these bastards, because there's always I shouldn't say always, but a lot of the time there is another one that's right there next to them, or someone that you don't know or you don't see, and they get quite upset.
Yeah, isn't that fact? I got a story that goes along with that. Back in my naivety years, which probably, who knows, I might still be in a little bit of naivety, but when I first started coming to Scriptures for America meetings, I met a young preacher, and he lived in my home state, and so I started visiting his home church, and he actually has a pet snake, a literal pet snake. Now, you know, they would get mice for it or whatever and watch the snake devour it. That was their entertainment. Well, I hate snakes, all kinds of snakes, and there was a time or two where they actually had the snake out of the you know, the glass case that they kept it in, you know, when we got there, and it was like, you know, I want nothing to do with it anyway. But on the other hand, he also had another pet snake. It was called a brother-in-law. Anyway, we went there for over a year, you know, and it was a 4.5-hour drive every Sunday morning for me and Tracy and our daughter to go down to. But it was worth it. We wanted fellowship. We wanted church, you know. I mean, it was before internet church, so I wasn't watching the pastor on Sundays. You know, I was just getting tapes in the mail. But anyway, the pastor, Peter, started bringing the doctrines on the devil. Well, we finally had our match down there. We just had enough when we found out they didn't even believe there was a devil. So anyway, we stopped going to church down there. But me and the preacher man, we kept in contact. And so the last time that we've talked on the phone, I asked him if he still had his pet snake. And he said, yeah, they still had their pet snake, you know, and they did this and that. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't mean the one in the glass case. I mean your brother-in-law. And he didn't like that, you know. He was like, oh, he's not a snake. I said, he's a snake.
Yeah, you know? I know who he is. He is a snake.
And that's the last time I talked to the self-proclaimed preacher man. Probably should have stopped going there before I did, but
well, our people are desperate for fellowship,
right?
Yeah. Richard, back to you.
Well, I was looking for it in Matthew, and I found it here in Matthew.
By the way, before you get to that, you remember, Jason, when I started speaking on snakes at the church?
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty major revelation back several years ago.
It was.
Remember a couple of those guys got all upset and they finally left?
Yep,
and
I do.
They were complaining. That
That's what I was thinking about when I was talking about that.
And they said, Pastor Peter's calling everybody a snake. I didn't call anybody a snake.
No,
you didn't. I was just teaching on it. Boy, they slithered it out of there right away. I just thought of that. Okay, now back to you, Richard.
Oh, just talking about, I guess it ties in with the snakes, that this camping, talking about today being his rapture day, being just as a like you said earlier, and I guess you're talking about it tomorrow at church, but just as a way to further come against Christianity, to further, you know, try to debunk it in the people's minds. And, you know, if the people would just read their Bibles, the old saying about it being impossible to enslave a Bible reading people is as true today. But we do not have in America, other than maybe the remnant, a Bible reading people. You know, they say there's millions and millions of people that are anticipating today's the day. If they would just read, just in here in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. And goes on down a little further in 42, says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And he describes it in between these two verses and says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And I've got this highlighted in my Bible. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. And so there's just not going to be understanding for the masses, is the way I read this. By all means, correct me if I'm wrong, but that it's going to be just like Jesus says. It'll be like in the days of Noah. That the people will not understand until it's too late, until it happens. And so, you know, it sure doesn't say on here that they're going to know and be able to tell everybody on what day it is.
Well, if it doesn't work out, they'll just revise, come up with a new date.
Yeah, they came out with, I think, the same group that's pushing this had a date picked in 94, from what I understand.
Yep.
And one thing that they don't point out, too, is, you know, they're trying to say that there is a day of the Lord, as in one day, and that it is, I guess, today, starting at 6 o'clock this morning, from what they were saying. You know, and they discredit that we are in the Day of the Lord event. It's been going on. You know, like we talked last week, we've had the fires, we've had the earthquakes, we've had the tornadoes. You know, that Day of the Lord is upon us. But they want to say that it's a one day, and when it doesn't happen, and we're still here, they discredit Christianity. They discredit, and when you try to talk to people, they think, "Oh, you're one of them. They're, you know, you believe, you know, well, what happened, you know?" And it's counterintelligence to discredit Christianity.
It is.
That's a good way to put it. It's counterintelligence. It's counterfeit. I might talk about that tomorrow, about the concept of a counterfeit. A counterfeit is deception. And Satan is a master deceiver or master counterfeiter. And so they will counterfeit the day of the Lord.
Well, if these people were, and it goes to show you that these people are not, they're portraying to be Christians, and they're not. You know, these
that's the
that
point.
Are,
that everybody misses that point. Get this. Everybody or anybody that's listening, you are not a Christian until you're born again of the water and the Spirit, which takes place when you obey what the Apostle Peter said to do. Yes. Repent. Now, the reason a lot of you haven't done what he said to do is because you've never repented. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's how you become a Christian. I'm going to tell you something else, too, men. You keep your guard up with these guys that talk about when they got saved.
Yep.
Even in our own groups, they'll talk about when I got saved and they got baptized later. Well, let me tell you something. They're either stupid or they are subtly deceiving, because you don't get saved. Now, you can get converted. When the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus, and he saw that light and it struck him down, he was converted. He changed his ways, but he wasn't saved until he did what he was told to do. And that is, "Now why tarriest thou, Paul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." I'm going to keep driving that home. We got these dirty birds out there that just, they like to keep coming in as if they're Christian. And convincing you you're a Christian. And you listen to our people, they'll say, "Well, he's a Christian." No, change your words. He's a believer in Christ, perhaps.
Right, but even the demons believed.
Right.
Even the demons knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he had power and authority over them. And so it does take a little more than belief, that's for sure.
Well, it's like you said, Richard, earlier, there's millions of people waiting to be raptured up today, but there's a billion people waiting to mock Christianity Monday morning.
And you know they'll be starting this afternoon.
Yep, they'll be mocking and they'll be saying, "I told you so, I told you so." Yeah. And the little boy that cried wolf, you know, he'll probably go out and cry wolf again, you know, like he has in the past. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be many people on a certain day that it's going to come upon like a thief in the night, you know. But we're commanded in 2 Thessalonians, you know, chapter 5, verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and ye are the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." And all those mockers, and they're going to be there, they're going to find themselves someday in total darkness.
Well put. Well, where do we go next?
Well, I wanted to read that. We were talking about snakes and serpents, and Psalms 57 or 58 verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent." And that pretty much tells you that, you know, that there is the wicked ones, that they're out there. There's these snakes. They got a venom, and sometimes when you get bit by them, it hurts.
Yeah, that's an understatement. And, you know, I mean, I've learned through hard knocks, you know, it's not just always a direct path for their snake bites. They come through family members and friends, and, you know, they do it with slander, lies, false accusations. But the one thing that all those things have in common is they are a bite of bitterness, you know, if you don't handle it right. And there's been times in the past where I've handled it wrong, and I've been bitter, and I could feel that poison going through my system. You get yourself in a bind.
Yeah, you really do.
Well, and so often, you know, when we were talking last Sunday after church, me and the pastor were, and gave me some really good advice, and that was, you know, when the slanders, how do you deal with a slander? I mean, so much of the time, when somebody's slandering you, you get upset, you get angry, and, you know, that's kind of been one of the things. It's part of that poison. It's part of that snake bite. You know, you want to go confront somebody. You want to go, you know, you want to go deal with the situation. And what, you know, we're not to fret because of evildoers. And sometimes, you know, we get ourselves in a trap because we start fretting. We get upset. We get angry. We all of a sudden start letting our enemy, the slanderer, start controlling our emotions. You know, and the counterfeit to all that is just forgive them. And that's what they you know, teach in the Judeo-Christian churches is just, oh, you got to forgive them, got to forgive them, got to forgive them. You know, we are not to forgive them, but at the same time, we are not to fret over them. And how there's such a distinction and there's a difference. And I had never tied together made the separation between the two. You know, I knew I wasn't supposed to forgive them, you know, if it was somebody that was not to be forgiven. But when there's a difference between fretting over them, how you cannot fret over them but not forgive them at the same time. And that just really hit home to me. And, you know, when you can do that and deal with a snake bite and do what you're supposed to do, you know, then it opens the door for the Lord to work and he can do his part. And I think a lot of times that when we are fretting over these evildoers, that we're not allowing the Lord to work because we haven't done our part yet.
Well put. And I'm going to put it out there more in the Branson gathering, Lord willing, on that very subject Jason just got done talking about. There's a lot to it. The Judeo-Christian church preacher bastards, they give you the antidote to the poison and bitterness as forgiveness, just blanket forgiveness. Whereas I want you to know, folks, that if you're going to be godly, you do what God does, and you don't do what God does not do or do not have you to do. And we've brought messages in the past, God forbid that I forgive. God does not forgive the wicked, evildoer, terror snakes. They are irredeemable. Well, yes, but Jesus said, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was talking about the soldiers at the foot of his cross that were drawing lots for his robe. The people that were crucifying him and set him up and conspired against him, they knew what he was doing. He didn't forgive them. And so the antidote is not forgiveness. The antidote is get rid of your resentment and your fuming and your fussing and the anger. You let it keep making you angry and the sun go down on your anger. And that in itself will throw such poison into your system that your liver has to deal with it, and it gets overloaded, and so ill health comes about.
Yeah, very good point.
Yep.
Got to look to that cross. You got to get rid of that.
Right. And the world's and the Bible says that, you know, this is for the spiritual man. This is foolishness to the natural man to
good
look
point.
At things that way. You know, I think we you know, we get caught up in the natural desires at times. You know, somebody wrongs us, somebody does something, we want to...
Our
flesh wants to come back and do what the flesh wants to do. And but, you know, we have to look to the Word and understand that there's more to it going on than just what we're seeing in the flesh.
In a position like I have, slander goes on all the time against you. And the people... all the time, I'm talking generalities, but all the time they take accusations without two or three witnesses.
Yes.
What they don't realize is the slander is not only attacking me, but attacking them by getting them to listen mm-hmm. about bad things about me, they say. Because when you receive that accusation without two or three witnesses, God's wrath will be on you. And so you get it. And the slander... will go about slandering, and the Bible says that God will protect you from the slander. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but he'll protect you from the slander. So don't worry about it. God will take care of it. And that way you don't fume, fuss, fret, get angry, and resentful.
And we do have a forgiveness filter, too, that we can send you if you're interested in, and it's a real good prayer to be praying, because sometimes we just don't know who they are, and if we are to forgive them, we don't want to be found forgiving the unforgivable or the irredeemable. And
we don't want to be found not forgiving those that we should be forgiving.
Right, right.
Yep.
And that's the thing, so many people don't, they don't have the discernment. They don't understand the difference between... you know, when the Bible talks about, you know, how often do you forgive your brother? You know, yeah, 7 times or 7 times 70. You know, we are to have that with us, with our brethren. But there's so many out there that don't have the discernment to understand that.
It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right. Paul in Acts 13 said, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him, on Elymas. Is that how you pronounce it? Elymas the magician. And said, "You who are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" And Paul could do that because he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and Elymas was a bastard.
Yeah, and he goes on down. He stood up. He talks a little bit in there, and then he goes on down a little bit further. In verse 16, he stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen." And if you're not a man, you're not going to listen. And if you don't fear God, you're not going to listen.
Good point.
This book means nothing to you. This instruction booklet that he gave us, the words mean nothing to you. If you're not a man, then you don't fear God.
Good point. Well, I think the Holy Spirit's leading us in good points. You know, at this point in time, why don't we just play a song? I played it a couple of nights back on one of our live broadcasts, and it was very popular. People requested it again. And if you're out there and you don't belong to that blood-washed band, you can be. And that's what this song's about, is listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it.
Chains of sin, till one day the master. children are advancing, marching till we reach the goal. For the battle's almost over, we'll soon be going home. I can hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of the blood.
What do you think, man? You like that song?
That's a good song.
That is a good one.
We going to redo that for Songbook 5?
Well, you know, one man heard it a couple nights ago, said, man, wouldn't that be great to have the Knights of Christ singers singing that? That'd be a good one.
Would be. And, you know, they talk about becoming a member of that Bloodwash band. And like you said earlier, you're going to keep preaching baptism because that's what it is. You read down here in Acts. When Paul and Silas were imprisoned and prayed, and you know, here the earthquake comes and frees them, opens the doors, drops the chains, and you know, the jailer that's there, you know, you people listening out there, maybe hearing us for the first time or something, you know, you may be that jailer, and all of a sudden you might be like him and say, sir, what must I do to be saved? And that's right there in Acts 16:30. And Paul and Silas said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. So there you go. All you got to do is believe, right? But if you read just a little bit further, you can even see and understand what that belief entailed. He believed, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And that's what you have to do. That's part of that belief. I you know, I'm seeing that more and more. That, yeah, if you believe him, you'll do what he says to do. And that's what he had to do to be saved. And that's,
you know,
what
people,
he did to be saved.
People have complained that, pastor, you teach on baptism all the time. You go to these churches, and every time when it's all said and done, they'll have people stand up or accept Jesus as their personal Savior.
Raise your hand. Have an altar call.
Every time. But when Pastor Peters, every time he gets a chance, talks about the real plan of salvation, well, then it bothers them. A lot of these so-called identity preachers, they just hate Pastor Peters' guts because he shows them up, because they never taught it. They don't teach it. They want to play church. And a lot of them, just because they know the Anglo-Israel truth, are nothing but bastards as far as I'm concerned. And that's what they are. They work to keep you out of the kingdom when they will not teach you how to become a member of the Bloodwash band.
Amen.
That can't be said enough. I mean, and you go through the Bible, you know, whether you do it very often or not, and you want to know the gospel, you know, you're talking the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to know how to obey the gospel, well, where does that lead you? You know, it leads you back to baptism. If you want to know about circumcision made without hands, where's that going to lead you? It's going to lead you to baptism.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to know how to become part of the body of Jesus Christ, where's that going to lead you? It's going to lead you back to baptism.
Yep.
And if you're going to want to know how to be saved, how to find eternal salvation, again, leads you back to baptism. So how can you be a preacher and never preach on baptism? It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Well, you can be like Joel Osteen and just never preach on sin, you know.
Yeah,
because he just, you know, he's not called to preach on sin, brother, but on God's blessings on you and your life. You know, quite the motivational speaker he is, pulling people from all over. And, you know, I was out of town, and a few weeks ago, and somebody mentioned that to me, and I kind of put that out there, and I offended them because he's one of their gods, right. You know, and they didn't care for that too much.
Oh, he makes them feel good.
Right, that's what it is. He makes them feel good. Well, we've got Branson coming up in just a short week. We are going to be there June 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Branson, Missouri. Same conference center that we've been the last several years. They have a new name, new owners. It's now called the Camden Conference Center. We've put all the information out in our newsletters and on our website. Looks like we have a very good Christian crowd signed up to come out. And then we also have our by invitation only, and application has to be filled out and accepted. Men's training conference going on for a day and a half right before that. We've got a good group of men coming in for that, and really looking forward to a good time there again, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And the theme this year is worship in truth and spirit, and I'm looking forward to it. We're just kind of getting into the last final week here of preparing and scheduling and packing.
I do have a request for those listening that are the saints that do pray. Pray for us that we have a gathering there. There'll be a blessing to so many that gather there and gather with us through the internet. And your preacher is requesting prayer that you pray for him, that he has the strength to carry through on this. There's been some challenges in that area, and I need your prayers to be able to make it through that gathering. There's a lot to do, so please keep us in your prayers. Back to you, Jason.
Well, I was another night last Wednesday night, a man called in from Nevada and was talking about this horse herpes virus that had hit Nevada. Have you heard about that?
Well, I didn't hear it until last Thursday night. That was the first time I heard about it. Had you heard about it?
No, I haven't, but I started doing some research on it and found out that it hit Colorado as well.
Yeah, they've hit Utah, several of the western states. They've got it in.
They ended up shutting down. They've canceled the rodeos. They've canceled the horse shows. They've canceled a lot of big events here locally.
Really?
And across the country right now. And, you know, it's one of these things that it kind of goes back to, and this is more, you can't prove anything, but kind of a gut feeling. Like, we had this chronic wasting disease. We've had this hoof and mouth disease. And, you know, I think it goes back to these people. We got poisoners out there. You know, we've got these aliens among us. And I think right now our horses are being attacked. And we prayed against this virus the other night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting for those horses in Nevada. But I don't know, I just feel like we should pray against this virus. If this was created, you know, a man-made thing, you know, bring it back down upon the poisoners. Yeah.
Well, the farrier that called in a couple nights ago, a very professional farrier he is, said that they think they're linking it to the vaccinations. They've been vaccinating them.
Oh.
Got another email in just on Friday morning that talked about possibly a link between that equine herpes complex and the Roundup, the glyphosate herbicide that they use Roundup on everything, talking about that the Roundup causes, manganese deficiency, low birth rate, and spontaneous abortions in livestock. And they're talking about that there's other organisms and pathogens that are brought out in that from that Roundup. They named it EM or something, saying that there's people out that are, you know, tying links to this to different places, the vaccinations, the herbicides and things that they're putting out. You're right, Jason, they are destroyers. They're absolute destroyers. It's what they do.
Well, let's pray, man. Lord, we'll make it sweet, short, simple. We bind this virus and those behind it. We bind them. We see you doing it in the heavens as well. And we cast them into the fire. And we loose the spell that people have. They've been made to look elsewhere. We loose the effects of this thing. And as far as this illness goes, let it rest upon the very creatures themselves that are the aliens. Let it come down upon them. We pray it in Jesus' name. We thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we got to remember that you don't have to have long, drawn-out prayers. Sweet, simple, and to the point, God take us from there. And that's what we've done there.
Amen.
Well, you know, there's people out there listening. Well, those people are crazy. Those people wouldn't do that. You know, I've used this illustration before, but in my younger years, back in the 60s, I was punching cattle on the Arapahoe National Forest on the Continental Divide outside of Granby, Colorado, and Grand Lake, Colorado. And many a times, now I was a Nebraska cowboy, and it was really kind of a pleasure and a blessing to be up there in the mountains. You talk about Marlboro country, that was Marlboro country. And many a times, I would get off my horse at the stream, one of those cold mountain streams, and drink the water right out of the stream. My horse, I always had him drinking downstream on me, and drink it right out of there. Oh, it's good, it's refreshing. Today, you can't do that. Why? Because they got a thing in the water called Girardia. And they say, well, the Girardia comes from the deer and elk pooping in the water. Well, you trying to tell me they didn't poop in the water back then? I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
But I know that you could safely drink it then. And I'll tell you what the deal is. They've poisoned the water because they want to keep us out of the mountains. And that's what they do. They're destroyers. Same thing goes with this thing called the Lyme's disease, the ticks. Yeah, there was a time you never had to worry about that.
Yep. And it almost just, if nothing else, it creates fear in the minds of the people. Oh, well, we can't take little Johnny and little Susie out camping in the woods. They might get Lyme's disease.
Right. And, well, they steal, kill and destroy. You think the word bastard is too harsh, do you? Aliens, tares, snakes, sons of the devil. That's why God has told us, that these tares are going to be harvested and burned in the fires, a Day of the Lord event. Well, men, we've got about 7 minutes left.
Well, so far it's been a good day for Rapture Day.
What are you going to say, Jason?
Oh, I was going to say, not only, you know, we've gotten all these diseases, but they got this one that came out a couple years ago called whirling disease, and they're even telling people not to eat the trout out of the Colorado mountain streams.
Yeah, whirling disease, yep.
You know, really? I didn't know that.
It's spread, and it's to the point now where even when people go in fishing, it used to be that the, you know, like Colorado fly fishing in the rivers was supposed to be some of the purest fish you could get. You didn't have any, there was no toxins, they tested them. Well, then they came up with this whirling disease, and they're telling people you can't even eat the fish, the trout out of the streams, out of the rivers of Colorado anymore.
Oh, the price we pay, Israel, when we won't obey. Our Lord said all these plagues and all these curses would come upon us, and they're here. They surely are. And it tends to be a challenge not to get frustrated, to know, and no one else knows, the remnant. There's a very few people that know that the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people are the Israel people of Scripture. But there's, and that America's in the Bible. But there's even fewer who know and care. And that's the remnant. And they'll be there when it's all said and done and this place is cleansed by the fiery wrath of God. Well, whoever wants to speak, speak now or remain silent, because we're about to run out of time.
Well, as we've told people before, read your Bible. You know, if you want, we've got a nice, a good little how to read your Bible in a year breakdown, you know, a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament every day, every week. We'd be glad to send that to you. You know, read your Bible through in a year. That's where you'll find the answers to the questions that you have today, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Good point. Can you top that one, Kyle?
Well, I can add to it, and that is, you know, like Richard read in Acts earlier about that magician, Elymas. He was going around making crooked the straight ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why also it is so important to read your Bible, because some of those guys have 90% truth or 99% truth and 1% poison, and it could change the whole meaning of what the gospel message is all about.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, now, Paul, he prayed that Elymas would go blind, and Elymas did go blind. He started searching for people to lead him around by the hand.
Yeah.
Now, I a lot of times say, well, why didn't he just pray that he'd be killed? You know, because that's the way I look at it. But for some reason, Paul said he wanted him to be blind,
yeah.
You know, because he was a blind teacher of the Bible, and, you know, and so I just assume that's why he did it. But you got to watch out for those people, you know, and I started thinking about, you know, praying that some of those people, you know, because I got the Holy Spirit. You know, I might not be Paul, but I got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's part of what I inherited by being a child of God.
Absolutely. It's a gift. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism.
So I think it's time to start praying these blind leaders go blind.
Yeah. You
know? Good point. And it's about time is over. Jason, I'll give you about 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, folks.
Maybe 60. Would 60 seconds to make you feel better?
Oh, that'd be better. No, like on the blind issue, you can tell if you're listening to somebody that's blind, if they can't see that you become a Christian by being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes.
Then you're following a blind teacher.
A blind guide.
Somebody who's absolutely blind.
And you'll both fall in the pit.
And, you know, I pointed this out in the past. We forget that a blind person can't see. And the truth of the matter is, the reason a lot of these bastards don't preach this is because they can't see it. They're blind.
Yeah. It's
period.
It's not for them.
Well, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace. Thanks for joining us with this Radio Ranch Wrangler time.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides.
My heart's calculating, our King wins.